February the 16th, 2023. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Imam Dr. Miraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic, Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. As-salamu alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warafuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.drmirajspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the ones that you have missed. Once again, we will open with a short dua and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. Imam W.D. Muhammad. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayah 2, Lord of all the worlds. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayah 4, Son, He was chosen whom He created. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayah 34, Angels bow, Adam. Psalms 8, 5, little below angels. The Rab means Lord of all the people. So what is the meaning of Lord in its original form or context in the Arabic Quran? Is Lord a person like Jesus or Muhammad? No. Who is the Lord? Allah God of the heavens and the earth is Lord. How do we know that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God is the Lord. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Praise be to God, Lord of all the world. So your Lord is God, not the Son of God or God's creation. He creates no son. Man are created by God as servants, dependent, but they are no biological son of God. God is not biologic. And this is in the gospel too, but it is confused. The language is so covered that you can't see it. God has blessed me to lift the cover that I can see it. So the gospel says God has no biological children or descendants, and I'll take any preacher, the Pope himself, to test. I will take any man on this earth to test because I know what I'm talking about, and I won't have to test them to test. I won't have to test them. They will recognize it quickly. Those big sellers I mentioned, they will see it right away. So what is the meaning of your Lord? God is Lord. Is not only the Lord of man. God is Lord of everything in existence. So what is the meaning of Lord in the Quran, the Quranic text? Many of the scholars have discussed the meaning of this term. Rab in the Quran has meaning, and the one who is called and entitled to that name is the one who takes a thing that still needs help to get where it is to go. And he takes that thing, cares for it, watches over it, protects it from a distance and also with an awareness that that thing sometimes that is being done, protect it and give it what it needs to exist and on where it has to go. So that is Rab, Lord. So God is the Rab of everything in existence. He created this world, but he also planned for this world's protection and for this world growth into completion. And the law and the influence, et cetera, that are operating to bring matter where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for it to go eventually, has been designed by God, and God is so designing it that way, is the Lord of that matter, not just the Lord of man. The Quran, Surah 114, Ayat 1-3. Although we are called to see God in our own world, as our Lord, when we say, I seek refuge with the Lord of man, the King of man, the God of mankind, what does that signify? So when man has been affected by his Lord in the way his Lord wants him to be affected, he is going to be in community life. And in community life, he's going to need a rule, a ruling over order. And the ruling order is called kingdom because the last of the old scriptures of the Jews and the gospel promises man a kingdom. So that kingdom comes, and king suggests the presence of the kingdom, what is lasting. We want this kingdom to be like that which is in heaven. So this kingdom must be under God. So man is affected by his wrath to develop as his wrath intended for him to be developed into a civilized community order. After that, we need the Lord who will serve that order and need a rule for that order. He should see God always in his life and in his destiny. So king seen as divine is a great mistake. So when he achieved community life, he should be aware that it is his Lord, the creator of the heavens and the earth, who has designed for him to come to this community life. So when he has achieved government and sits on the throne representing the public, the citizen, he should be aware his Lord has been in all of his development, and his Lord has brought him to be king. So he shouldn't make himself to be godlike. Many kings did it past time, like Pharaoh, but he should witness and worship God. Eli God, Elohim Nat, means worship God. It is where you direct your devotion when man has been formed as a community, and then he has formed a law and an order for that community, and he sits on the throne representing authority, then he should have that whole community and government and his head worship God, who has been in all of his developments to bring him from dust to where he is. So we have heard a calling saying to faith, believe in your Lord as we have believed. See what intelligent men will believe in, not seasonal men, who will be here for 2 or 3 years, and they see another horizon and leave from here and go to the other horizon. I'm talking about men who make an alliance for life when he put their hand in the hands of the leader. It is not only their hand, it is the hands of their loins, their children and grandchildren to come. They are pledging their future to the leader for generations and generations to come. This is how they pledge their alliance to Muhammad. They were saying, as intelligent men of insight, that we have heard a man saying, come to faith, and saying, believe in the God who has evolved our matter, dead matter, to become a social community of human beings. That's our creator, who is also our evolver, Lord. I can believe in that. I want to believe in that. God's rule is more than and father. So that is to me, or more dear to me than believing in my mother who carried me in her stomach, her womb, and when I came out, she stayed with me, fed me, cleansed me, and helped me until I could walk on my own as feet, and wasn't satisfied until she saw that I could go out of the house and get a job and make it for myself. I can believe in her, and I can believe in the Lord in the same way, because I was nothing and someone is telling me to believe in the one who took me from being nothing and cared for my destiny so much that he didn't even bother to introduce himself to me. He said, I don't want you to be bothered with that heavenly response, heavy responsibility to try to understand what I'm doing. I'm just going to do it for him. So human, vulnerable, a little above the angels. So who, after creating them as matter, enabled them to be born from a biological body of a female in a biological image of a human person. So he came there and stood distant where you couldn't see him, God, and watched you to see that you develop where he wants you to go. And every time you were in a crisis and the world couldn't solve the crisis, he sent a word from himself through a vessel fit to carry it, that's God, to get you where he wants you to go as a person of great worth, being worth so much until God says he made you a little above the angels, not in the form that you are in now, maybe, but in the form he wants you in at the destination. Prophet Muhammad said, meet me at the destination abundance. So here is a prophet, a leader of the faith community. He's such a leader that God wants the whole world of faith to know that they have no better leader than Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. And how does he tell them that? He is the best example for those who believe in God in the last day. It didn't say for Muslims only, but for any who believe in God in the last day. If you are truly believers in religion, here is an excellent model for you. And he is enough for the whole humanity. Kafatin Linnas, translated, enough for all people. So here is the model leader for the faith community, but he is also a leader of works. The world is coming to a point where they are going to have to meet him soon as the leader of the faith community. But before they are going to see him as the leader of the works, he is that man, we know it. Now, the works, what are the works you have to do? If you're going to call people to faith, you must call the people to believe in the Lord, who is not white, black, brown, European, not African, not Asian, not anybody from amongst us. Agree, O man, that you will not raise up from yourselves, lords, the disrespect for God. So what Lord are you going to call them to, brother? You're calling them to have faith, to believe in your Lord, who is not European, African, Asian, nor anybody from biological life, but the one who exists in the heavens and the earth everywhere and lives eternally, he who neither sleeps nor slumber, nor does fatigue touch him. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 1 to 7, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, the one who is the creator of all the useful things, the benefactor or the beneficent God, the one who has made available all those gifts that we recognize in the natural creation as the graces of God. This attribute brings to mind the role of man in the human society. In the social family is that of a provider. So when the baby is born, it begins to join the benefits of a home life that are made possible by the father, the provider, if its home has developed naturally or in line with normal human development. The child has its bed, its clothing, its eating table, its food, and other things that it needs to satisfy itself in its childhood. These things are provided by the father. In the home, the father is a benefactor who prevails and who makes gifts available to the young children of his loins, we have in Al-Rahman a name that is much greater in description because it is a name that covers the whole of creation, the whole of human needs, and all of the needs of all creatures. Rahman from physical, mental, moral, spiritual needs. Al-Rahman not only covers the physical graces, but it also includes the mental, the moral, and the spiritual graces. Even in the Holy Quran itself is called a gift of Al-Rahman. Al-Rahim, mercy womb. Al-Rahim brings to mind another great and mercy. So we see it as an image or a signification pointing to the concept of the female womb, the child, conceived in the womb of the mother, grows until it reaches its full development when it is delivered into the world. It remembers no pain, no bad experience from that period of development in the womb. It comes here immediately, is provided with milk. In the breast of the mother is the food that it needs for future growth and development. So we see in this too, the attribute as a benefactor providing the need for the young child before it becomes aware that it has any need. So this is a grateful mercy that comes to the creatures continuously without the creatures having to ask for it. It is the eternal grace and a continuous grace. So we have two attributes that are attributes of divine supreme being, one bringing to mind the social image of man and his role as provider and benefactor. The second one brings to mind the role of the woman as one who watches over and cares for the tender life, give it needs and protects it from suffering. God, male, Zeus, Apollo. Society had worshipped God in male images and in female images. They had God in the Middle East as male sex god Zeus, Apollo, and others. Then they had God also as a female deity, the great mother Artemis, and others. At one time or another, the male sex deity enjoyed popularity as the dominant concept for people to worship. Another time, the female sex deity enjoyed the popularity of having been worshiping by the people of the world. The Supreme Being is not a sex deity. God is not limited to the attributes of a male deity or a female deity, but God, Allah, is all in all, comprising of all divine attributes. Allah is more gracious, more beneficent, and a greater provider than can be envisioned in a next sense in a male sex or female sex deity. The very sign of Allah's grace in the masculine role are the gifts of the original being, the creator himself. The very presence of the graces that we see when we study the female and her function of her womb are graces that we see in her function as a mother. All of these things are the works of an originator. Therefore, Allah is the perfect provider and the blessed benefactor. So God is not a half-deity male, no female. He is not a half-deity existing in male form or in female form, an attribute, but a deity responsible for the divine attributes that we defy as masculine attributes and for the divine attributes that we defy as female attributes. Reb involves the whole creation. So this is an attribute that means the one who formed the thing from the very beginning, who developed that thing, stage by stage until it reaches a desired goal and provides for it all that it needs. It's continuous existence. Allah knows the past and the future. So the one who is most worthy of our worship is that one who has been working on us from the very beginning, fashioning us and developing us to completion. He is not just wrath or a particular region or of a particular family or life, but he has done this for the whole creation. He who has existed from the beginning has no beginning himself. He is free from the influences and the efforts of time and aging. Here is the image of God as the one who existed before this creation, who brought about all of these things step by step into manifestation. He is the one who knows what has happened from the early period of time. And moreover, he is the one who has been acquainted with us from before our very beginning. He is Rab, the one who develops a thing from the beginning, watches over it, its needs, and develops it stage by stage until the thing reaches completion. If he is the Rab for all the creation, all worlds, or all the universes, then who should we fear judgment from? We should not fear judgment from the newly conceived God deity, but we should fear judgment from the God who has made all of these things possible from the beginning. The Quran Surah 1 Ayah 7, not those who rest upon. Numbers 14, 2-5, Jews complained against Moses. So the people on whom watch over, the people of whom wrath came, are the people called Jews in the Bible. So if we recall Genesis, and particularly the Exodus, we see that the history of the so-called Jews is the history of a people who were suspicious of their leader Moses. At every turn, they were questioning him. They did not follow him willingly, and they were not willing to accept direction when direction came to them. As a result of their suspicion and rebellion, God brought upon them a great punishment. Mount when Moses came down to them with the law on the tablet. They were a people who rebelled over and over again. They are given a name in this prayer, which means those upon whom the wrath of God fell. Here it does not say the wrath of Allah, it just says wrath. Why is the wrath in this particular prayer mentioned without the doer of the wrath being named? It is left like this because the wrath that came upon them was that, as the Holy Quran says in many places, the consequences of their own wrongdoing. It was because of the consequences, their lack of faith, and their weaknesses, stray one misguided Christians. The Quran Surah 1, Ayah 7, those who strayed. The Holy Quran refers them in this way because it was the early founders of the so-called Christian church who is seeking a way out of their religious confusion. Jerusalem took on foreign ideas from pagan thoughts. They came up with a kind of answer or an argument against the Jewish Jewish ideas and Jewish thinkings at that time. They went astray because they did not seek out original ways, but they sought to come up with something new. So in forming something new, they introduced many idolatrous or pagan ideas into the religion. Though they went astray, they are not accused of going astray. If they were accused, so they would have been called those who rebel. They were seeking a way out of their problem and out of their confusion. They did have faith in God, and they were looking for a right way, but they did not rely upon old established truths. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 1 to 3, Quran for those who believe. Bukhari, page 147. Ihsan, worship Allah as seeing him. So the Quran's mission is to advance the process of freedom. Freedom is for human intellect and rational potential. You cannot enslave a man's will or potential. So we know that the mission of God's word in human life and society is to advance the process of freedom, and not just the freedom of this physical body. This distinction is very important for the African-American people who think of freedom in the circumstances of their own life and history. So when the word freedom is mentioned, it usually strikes the African-American as freedom from physical bondage or physical restrictions. The higher idea of freedom is not freedom from physical bondage, physical restrictions, but freedom of the human intellect, of that rational potential that God gave equally to all people. You cannot enslave a man's will or potential. You may capture or hold him back physically, but if he remains in the order God created him and doesn't sacrifice the spirit for forward movement God put in him, he will remain free, though he may be physically confined. Quran recite to the children before they even learn to speak. So Muslim parents should recite the Quran to their children before they even learn to speak. In fact, it is advised that as soon as a child is born, the Kalima should be recited in its ear. It is also very important to recite Al-Fatiha and the first line of the second chapter of the Quran, Surah Al-Baqarah, translated the Talmud. The transliteration of the second chapter reads as follows: Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Dalakul kitabu la rabbatihi. Hudan ila muttaqin. Translated, this is the book. There is no doubt in it. It is a guide to those who want to go right. Now, shouldn't we be giving this to our children? And shouldn't we give it to them as believers, so that when it registers on them, they accept it from the mouth of the faithful? If we read these verses to our children, they would be great guidance and support. The Quran would set their attitude before the world sets it for them, and would set their attitude towards being right, towards being dutiful to God and being responsible to their fellow man. In commenting on these first few verses, we see that in the Quran, there is one doubt. There is no doubt, pardon me, no defect, no imperfection. It says that it is a guide to those who desire to go right, who believe in God, who keep up prayer, and give for the sake of others. So this is wonderful. It is only a few words, but look how it has established what my attitude should be and where my sentiments should go. It has obligated me with respect to my Creator and also to my fellow man. It has assured me it has invited me to stand upon is perfect. Authority, he has his own mind, is a sign of clocked in condition, rebellion, and defiance. So the life of the Islamic discipline being in the area of our spiritual tendencies that is most critical, spiritual tendencies of the emotionality of the human being, the trend that his spirit is subject to follow. These sometimes manifestation in trick, in thick, hardened attitudes, and can't live except in that spirit. This explains the kind of spirit we have in our society today, a fixed spirit of disrespect for authority, a disrespect for parents and rebellion, defiance, and just being different for the sake of being different. If parents try to advise their own child or children as to what is best for them, the children might say, oh, I'm entitled to my own opinion. And those who go along with the modern trend will tell that child, parent, well, you know, the child has a mind of itself, its own. So that is a sign of intelligence, but it is a sign of clocked-in condition, rebellion, and defiance. It is a sign of the absence of God's guidance. So discipline requires strength. The world discipline brings to mind a need for strength. Weak people cannot discipline themselves. Take, for example, people who overeat and become overweight. They know that they shouldn't keep eating jelly rolls and an extra large order of French fries and pizza. They will order pizza with extra cheese, even though they have been told that the pizza is fattening and that it is junk food. By junk food, they mean that it isn't helpful to your system. So the people must have something they give priority to amongst the things they respect. We can lose respect for ourselves to the extent that we will risk our own life, knowing that we may die if we do certain things. This is reflected in the attitude of those who are warned of some destructive habit. If you say to them, you know, those cigarettes, drugs, and alcohol will kill you, and they reply, well, I've got to die from something, so it might as well be from something I enjoy. But most of us have some respect for our own individual body, for our own individual self, but that is not big enough to save us. The only thing that will save us is to make God the object of our life and rule over our life. Prophet Muhammad said, you are to believe as though you are seeing Allah. For if we will respect God to that extent, it will give us strength in our whole life. People who have that kind of fear and respect for a higher command in their lives have the strength they need to keep up the proper discipline. The Quran Surah 1, Ayat 1 to 7. Let's take Al-Fatiha off. So we know Al-Fatiha does not appear in that chapter, but the same name giving is since the time of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, Al-Fatiha, the opening is also means the victory, and it also has an allusion or a hint. It hints to another meaning, the key. Key is Mukta, and the key is opening. It is in the act of opening Al-Fatiha, that is what it means. So the key is in the act of opening this chapter we call the opening. This means that is a combination of two words. By means with, and with means by. Tafaratu hunan. Tafaratu hunan desiyat disjarati. Translated means, I traveled here by my car. So bismillah, you mean more than in, and you mean by, because you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his name, and you also mean that it is your help, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God, is your help for doing whatever you are doing or for whatever you are talking about. God is your help. So Allah names word origin. Allah came from the two words this word al means, the, and ilah, like this, it means God. Ilah means any God. Ilah, this meaning just God, it could go for any God. But we know it means something people worship or take for divine powers over them. And that's what it means. Anything that you think is outside of you and has power over you and is mysterious, you don't know everything about it, and you believe that you are subject to it. You believe that if you do wrong, it will punish you. If you believe that about a thing, it could be a picture of a snake. It can be an idol that made in the form of a snake. So if you believe that idol has the power, then that's your ilah. Rahman, Rahim, from the word mercy. The word from the mercy comes from Rahima. So this is mercy. Araham means womb of family relations. It means female womb, animal womb, or close family ties. At-Tekulin, fear God, reverence God. Well, Araham, translated, it is and the womb that bore you, or the close family tie. So you can translate it like that, Araham. The womb of the female, how we get the life back. So if this word is from Araham, then can you see redemption, something being brought back? It's through the womb of the female that we get the life back, don't we? So the life comes back by the way of the female. Alhamdu encompasses love, respect, and aspiration. Alhamdu means a little more than praise. It also means that the person who is praising feels an indebtedness when he's praising something and feels also love, respect, and appreciation. It means I owe you something, respect and gratitude, thankfulness. Li ilahi, it means belongs to, showing possession, who it belongs to. Ilah belongs to God. Inna ilahi, translated, surely we belong to God. You can translate it, surely we are God. It means God's people. Inna ilahi, well, inna ilahi raji'un. Translated, surely we belong to God, and to God we are returning. Ilahi meaning to him, the he is him. Wa ilahi raji'un, translated, we are returning. So li, the possessive pronoun, means a very strong attachment. Now, if I want to say, this is my book, I would say, hada kitab, indeed. It wouldn't be proper for me to say that. And some people might say, but if you say that means very strong attachment. That means there is a natural bond between me and what I'm talking about. So you say that for your mama and for your children. Li waladin, translated, I have two sons. So you can say indi. That is incorrect. The bond is too tight. The possession is too dear. It's too natural for you to say indie. You say indie when you are talking about Snickers or candy bar. For an example, you say indie Snickers. Ilahi means God is the possessor. Ilahi, everything, it has the close bond with God, earth by it. Earth, God said, Master Semewati wa Addi Ilahi, translated, it is whatever is in the sky and the earth is for God. They say for God, but it means God is the possessor of those things. For God, they translate it, but it means whatever. In the stars and whatever is in the earth belongs to God. And the possession is a natural possession, not one that was formed by something that was outside of God's power. God's power formed it. God's power formed our relations with each other. That's why you have to say, Lad, my mother, I have a mother, Ummi Lad, Ummi, or La Ummi, translated, I have my mother. Very strong tie, bond, lie, leave. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said for thee, it means that it belongs to him by virtual nature. It never belonged to anybody else before it belonged to him. That is what it means. Maybe somebody else got it, at least, like man got the whole world later. But it means it belonged to God. And God is the first, and nobody had it before God. That's what it means when we say last. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. He that strong lie. The praise, Ilahi. It is for God. It was for God before man was created. It was for God. Nobody gave him that. He owned that praise before anything existed. That praise was his. That is why it is last. Alhamdulillah. Praise be to God, the Lord of all the worlds. Ar-Rahman, the Rahim is repeated. And we will discuss that later, maybe, for you. Then Maliki Yawmiddin. It is a long era. And this is L. And this is K, Maliki. They translated master. It means king also. It is because king is the sovereign ruler, and he makes all of the decisions, and he does not ask anybody how he should make his decision unless he wants to. That is his privilege, to invite somebody to contribute to his judgment, but it does not have to. And that should be no one but God. Iyaka means my whole attention is only on you. The next word is Iyaka, means not only thee do we worship. It means that my whole attention is only on you. So when I think of my God, or when I worship my God, my whole attention is only on you. Now, abudu, worship gives the master complete authority, translated, you alone we worship. So the word worship actually comes from a word meaning slave, abdin. And God calls us ab, is slave or servant. But ab, it is a servant that has given the master or the boss complete authority over him, or has accepted that the boss has complete authority over him or her. That means if you want to marry a certain person, you have to go and ask the boss. Slaves are not supposed to marry anybody without the boss, the slave master's permission. So the slave master picks the mate unless he's pleased with the slave wants. So if he's not pleased with her, the master picks the mate. Oh, he may say, no, I'm sorry. You cannot marry. I can't afford to have that my business. Won't run right if you want to bring in a wife. And this is an ancient practice of people finding a person who has money and asking that person, could I work for you for the rest of my life? Be your servant for the rest of my life. And if the person accepts it, yes, the person who wants that kind of a servant might see somebody and say, would you like to come and be my servant for the rest of your life or for 2 years or for 10 years? So if it is for terms, then they have a contract, and you cannot break that contract. If you break the contract, you are in serious trouble in most of the world. We don't have it here. In the Christian world, you don't have it. And in certain other religions, you don't have it. But you might have a drug pusher that will kill you if you do something without him, without his permission. Worse than slave master. Nestaim means to ask with passion and feeling inside your heart. But it is more than just asking. You are asking with a lot of passion and feeling in it, because just to ask for something, there is another word in Arabic, but when you ask God, this word, nestaim, we ask with our hearts in it, with our feelings in it. We are asking you with strong feelings. But we are asking you. You alone, we ask for help. No, you are supposed to ask your mother for help. You are supposed to ask anybody that helped you that you think you need help from, but not with that kind of passion and feeling inside your heart. When it comes to God, there is a bigger dimension. There is a bigger side for our love and our passion. And our concerns become much bigger. God, please help us have a good family. We need to ask. We need to do that. We need to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. God, please help us have a better family. If you do, it will get it. That's right. Even if the bad ones make all the trouble, might have to go to jail or die. But many times the worst one becomes the best one, has a turnaround for his life, and become the best one. You alone, we implore for help. Implore is a strong that connects strong passion, or indicates or express strong passion. We implore, not enjoy like you employ somebody to work for you. It means to turn to something, asking for something with a lot of passion. It's Dina Gadas. Mustaqim is the path of uprightness. Mustaqim is translated as straight Gadas, or of Gadas and our guide, Gadas to the straight path. Suratu is path. Al-Mustaqim is the straight, the upright. So the path of upright becomes this word, mustaqim. Comes from word gamma, gamma, pardon me. The word gamma, it means to stand up. Mustaqim, it takes from that word gamma, that means to stand up. So magdubi, expressing God's displeasure, anger, wrath. So this word makdubi is in the objective case again. What we are talking about hit them. They are the people of something that hit, that God displeasures, God's anger, God's wrath. He rejected of them, hit them. His rejection of them hit them. It is from the word gadama. It means to become angry or become very displeased where you want to do something about it. You want to hurt somebody. And this comes from the Bible. This is the same word that was used in Scripture before they incurred God's wrath. So this is the Bible. Walladulin. Walladulin Dueling means to miss that what you are aiming for. It's two L's. Adeline means those who miss what they were aiming for and went astray. That means that they went astray, like I was trying to throw something to hit a certain thing, but it goes off from the target. Throw dollar. It went off from the target, missed the target. And not those who missed the way or not those who went astray. It means the same thing. Alhamdulillah. Li indicates natural strong connections. God says, Ilahi, for God, ma sasamewati wal addi ilahi. He didn't say in Daliha. No, because that relationship is much stronger. So when I say I possess and I have something in thee, it's like money, it's like a car, it's like those things. But if I'm talking about my son, my daughter, my wife, it's no more in thee, it is thee. Very strong connection. Natural connection, maybe we should say a natural connection. Like my son is a natural connection to me. So when God says of himself, Ilahi mastasemewati wal addi, he is saying that those things are mine first before they were anybody else's. They were mine, and they are mine above everybody else. I'm the owner of everybody else. I have first right to it, etc. So like a woman will tell you, this is my daughter. I don't need you to tell her what to do in front of me, in front of my face. Don't be telling her something that you want her to do. In my face, God has that right over all of us because he made everything and he made us. The Quran, Surah 1, Ayat 7 to 7. The Quran, Surah 15, Ayat 87, 7 repeated verses. The Quran, Surah 93, Ayat 7, he found you wondering. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 144, turn your face to Kaaba. The Quran, Surah 6, Ayat 6, we destroyed people greater than you. The Quran, Surah 26, Ayat 49, crucify the body on opposite sides. The Quran, Surah 14, Ayat 12, you guide us to our path. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 36 to 38, gets you down from here. The Quran, Surah 20, Ayat 55, from earth return it, then resurrect it. The Quran, Surah 12, Ayat 76, Allah above those who have knowledge. The Quran, Surah 41, Ayat 2, come willingly or unwillingly. 1 Kings 4:25, every man has his own vine and fig tree. Matthew 10:38, picketh not his cross. John 19:33-34, Jesus stabbed water, blood came out. Al-Hadith, page 2, 123:13-17. 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4, men of sin. 1 John 5, 6, Jesus came by water and blood. Isaiah 61, 6, Israel will eat the riches of the Gentiles. Luke 6, 26, woe when all speak well of you. Al-Fatiha reads with 7 stops. When you read Al-Fatiha in Arabic, you can read it in many ways. You can read it in line by line. It's okay. This chapter of the Quran is described in the Quran as the 7 matching verses, 7 that comes in twos. Nathina is the Arabic word. We want to stop 7 times. 1, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. 2, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen Ar-Rahmanir Rahim. 3, Maliki Yawmiddin. 4, Kana Abudu Wa Iyaka Nasta'im. 5, Ihdina Suratul Mustaqim, 6, Suratul Ladina in Amta Alayhim, 7, Ghayru Maghdubi Alayhim Waladdu'alim. So that's what we want. Let us establish reading al-Fatiha that way. Make 7 steps. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC. Murad Speaks, Imam Murad, Imam Dr. Murad Speaks, Talk Radio. So this leadership you establish what you believe to be, the logic. Don't buy it from other people. It is not agreeing to what you believe the logic to be. So the first stop comes as the end of the opening, the second stop, which comes at the end of Ayat 3, verse 2. And they are stopped at the end of the verse 3. That is the second stop. In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this chapter is revealed with 7 matching that comes in 2 duals. Now let us study what we have done. 1, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Where are the 2? The 2 are our Rahman and our Rahim. 2, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Our Rahmanir Rahim. Where are the 2? We praise and we repeat it. It is the same thing, but we say of all the world. So the two meaning, so the two matching, pardon me, is to match what it is the first ayat with Rabbil Alameen. This God is Lord of all the world, not the Lord of Israel. The Bible says that the Lord is the Lord of Israel, and it doesn't say it is the Lord of anything else. It is always the Lord is Israel, never the Lord of everything else or anything else or other people. I read the Bible. You read it. Can you recall it saying the Lord of anybody else? The Bible says the Lord. Who is the Lord? The Lord of Israel. The Lord of Israel is exclusive of the rest of humanity. So the Quran is calling out the error in the Bible. So no, he is not the Lord of Israel. He is the Lord of all the world, not just Israel. They must have done something wrong saying the Lord of Israel. And they did. Where did they get the nerve to say that God is your Lord and not the Lord of everybody? They are establishing themselves as an exclusive people who have rights before God, or in the presence of God that all other people don't have. And this is a big sin. And this is what the Quran is addressing right here in this surah, this chapter. Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim is one time. And then again, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, repeated. Is this repeated twice for no reason? No, it is repeated twice for a real good reason. So the same people who say God is their Lord in a very exclusive way to make themselves his only begotten, that is what it says. No, Jesus Christ, you need to come away from the church now and come to the masjid. And here Imam W. Dean Muhammad gives you what you missed in the church. David is called the only begotten of God before Jesus. It's called the only begotten. And that is why the one that they point to, the Jews, say Jesus, the son of David. And if he is not the son of David, we can't accept him as Christ. Only David the Christ must come through the lineage of David. That is the Jews' position. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means that it please God. We thank New Africa, Excellent Enterprise, Imam Murad Speaks, for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you, our honorable listening audience. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, As-salamu alaykum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.